Nope. Hey, you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Hey, Dad.
Ken, he doesn't want to see you. He doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah, okay? Well, this is all total horseshit.
Jesus Christ.
Let's just have it out, okay? I want to see you, Dad. I want to see you for dinner, and let's just nail this, okay? 8. On your own. Yeah?
P to the OD. Cast on the daily about Succession. One episode per day, see? P to the OD. Cast on the daily about Succession. Podcasting like a pro, make some noise.
Succession is almost over, but we are just getting started talking about every single Succession episode here on Post Show Recaps on the daily Succession podcast here on Post Show Recaps, where we are watching and talking about every single episode of Succession on the road to the final season premiere, which is just a couple of days away on March 26th. You can get the commercial-free versions of this podcast when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level for the ad-free versions of the Succession podcast. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler. Today, we are talking about the penultimate episode of Succession Season 3, Episode 8, Keomty Shire. And here we are calling you out. Dinner at 8 o'clock here, Jess Sterling and Grace Leader. Be there or be square.
I brought mozzarella.
Iverson, do you like mozzarella?
Like mozzarella?
It's really who doesn't like mozzarella? Come on.
Iverson, apparently. It's
all right.
It's fine.
Okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Especially if you're in Tuscany and you're not eating mozzarella, what exactly are you doing?
Oh, gosh. If I were in Tuscany, I would be positively drowning in mozzarella. Oh, my God. Poor choice of words.
Hey, remember this week? Remember when this episode came out and there was a full week of just Jeremy Strong.
We didn't
huh, Kendall?
Know if he died.
We need to set this up because, of course, we are doing these podcasts for people who are watching Succession for the very first time. But to take you back to the moment in time for the week between episode 8 and episode 9 of season 3, it's a lot of what Grace just said. There was a lot of, did Kendall just die? Did they just do that?
And like HBO penultimate episode energy just had like big, like, yeah, you know, a big theorizing for a full week.
Shocking death at a wedding. HBO would never.
This is also, I believe, when the
Jeremy HBO hadn't Strong, previously done this already on Succession.
Yeah. The Jeremy Strong interview, I believe, then came out during the week. There was like a really big, and I can't remember who it was with. I'm blanking on who came up, but a very big interview came out, and yeah, it seemed like maybe that's
was it the New Yorker? Is that the one? I believe it was the New Yorker.
Yeah. Well, there's the big profile, the New Yorker, yeah, that is right around this time as well, which still haunts the Succession and Jeremy Strong discourse to this very day.
Yeah.
As for whether or not Kendall survives his current predicament for the first time viewer, we shall not say, I suppose, other than to say, I don't know that I would have so jovially said I'm drowning in mozzarella if this had an immediately horrific ending.
I think the thing, yeah, too, is I remember when we were podcasting about it, too. When I first watched the episode, I didn't even take it that way. I didn't even notice, like, his face was, like, kind of over the edge of the floaty in the water. And, Josh, you were one of the ones to point it out and be like, you know what? Wouldn't be surprised if they killed off Kendall here. And then my brain was like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was actually the same. So this happens on HBO, and I believe it's the same. Looks like December 5th is when they drop, which is the same day as the Succession episode, Chantashire, they drop the Jeremy Strong profile. So there was big, like, the idea maybe being like the big profile was like, well, because that's maybe the last time Jeremy Strong's on the show.
Right.
And so the profile comes out and people are kind of freaking out and losing their minds.
Yes. Yeah. So that was definitely a time to be alive in the Succession discourse. So that discourse is a little less buzzy here as we are heading into the final 2 days of the rewatch. This is I don't even know what to say. I mean, it feels to some degree like a loss that we're facing, even though now we're heading into 10 more weeks of Succession. So it's not really a loss, but it's the end of the preseason almost. And the preseason's always very, very fun. So we hope everybody's been having as much fun as we have been having on this podcast. So let us set up what's going on in the penultimate episode of Succession Season 3 with a quick plot recap from Jess Sterling.
Season 3, Episode 8, Chianti Shire, is named after the location of Caroline's wedding to Peter Munyon. So let's hop on our PJs and fly on over to Tuscany. A succession wedding is never a dull affair. Roman discovers his mother's groom has a string of failed marriages and business ventures and suspects Mr. Munyon is only marrying her to get closer to Waystar, but she doesn't even seem to care. This isn't Roman's only worry, though, as the deal he struck with Mattson on Gojo is compromised when Mattson tweets insinuations he's about to get financing. Roman visits Mattson and discovers he's angling for more of a merger between equals. When this is brought to Logan's attention, he's surprisingly open to it, but discussions of the merger come to a grinding halt when Roman accidentally sends a dick pic to Logan rather than Jerry. With one phallic photo, Roman is knocked off of the pedestal of Daddy's favorite. Shiv couldn't be more than delighted by this development, as she would love nothing more than to get Roman and Jerry out of her way on her path to CEO. She tells Tom as much after a long day with her mother, where her mother tells her she shouldn't have had children and that Shiv is smart for not pursuing motherhood. Shiv immediately wants to have babies with Tom, but her dirty talk leaves a lot to be desired. Tom gets whiplash the following morning when Shiv dismisses his hurt feelings and says she wants to freeze embryos, which will last for about 10 years. Connor decides the best way to divert attention away from journalists investigating Willa's background is to propose to her, so he can be the most happiest man slash most bulletproof candidate in the world. We're still waiting on word as to whether or not she accepts. Greg is climbing up the dating ladder as he contemplates dropping Comfrey for a royal. And then there's Kendall, who is being kicked out of events left and right due to his father's request. He asks to meet Logan one-on-one and counteroffers the birthday card deal Logan made last episode. Logan says the birthday card was just for fun and denies Kendall a deal. Kendall calls Logan evil, and Logan resentfully says he's been cleaning up Kendall's messes his entire life. He twists the knife by bringing up Andrew Dodds, the dead cater waiter, before telling Kendall to F off. We leave this episode with Kendall face down in the pool, unsure of if he is okay. And that is the penultimate episode of Season 3 of Succession.
A very dramatic episode of Succession, as they always are, of course. But I feel like this one is, the gloves continue to come off. We see Kendall on the other side of Too Much Birthday, and what is he looking like now, and how much fight does he have in him left? And Grace, the answer seems to be he doesn't have much fight at all. He has.
What do you mean? He wants podcasts. He wants to do podcasts. That's the biggest fight out there to run a podcast network.
Yeah, he did want to get on the podcast. I would love to listen to that podcast. I don't think HBO ever did an in-universe version of what's being sketched out by Comfrey there, but I would have loved to have heard it. This is, he has enough fight to challenge his father to dinner. It's a mortal combat over the mozzarella. And he has enough fight in that conversation to stand up for himself in as much of a way as he possibly can. And his father is very verbally violent in response. And that scene is I remember watching it the first time and just feeling, gutturally impacted by it. And like the kinds of conversations that you sometimes think about having with an elder family member and it going this way is just very, very traumatic and at the center of a lot of really difficult parent-child relationships in this episode. If you thought it was all Logan Roy, Caroline has a few words for you as well.
Yeah. And Logan, I remember this episode, Logan is supremely awful in this conversation. He's like, asking Kendall if he's a queer, if that's what happened when he was he was trying to hook up with Andrew Dodds. It's like, it's just all around brutal again, where I thought this episode is so good. Again, this first time I'm rewatching season 3 and I really just forgot what a like banger of an episode this is. And especially because once again, it's very evenly balanced. I think you get a lot of Logan and Kendall, but you also get to see a lot of Roman. I'll say that. And there's the Shiv and Tom stuff is so brutal. And again, this is where I talk about when my stomach is in knots, why am I like, oh, I love this show. It's so uncomfortable, the scenes that they have together. And yet it's like fascinating, compelling TV that I can't look away from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Succession does a wedding like no other, Jess. They really do.
It's such an event, and we talk a lot about kind of the scene setting, right? Like, what is the setting of this, of every episode? And this is one of the big ones, right? Anytime they are hopping on a PJ, flying across the Atlantic to go somewhere, it's always exciting. It's always riveting. There's always going to be drama, and the drama almost never has to do with the actual wedding itself. It's so well done. I had never really put much into Caroline as a character before this rewatch. And I'm finding that every time she is on my screen and every time she is in an episode, I enjoy it because I think it just, it really just gives you an even bigger insight into what these children's young adult lives were like. And with a character like Caroline, where she just, neither her nor Logan should ever have been parents. They don't know how to parent properly. And it's also fascinating to think about her as someone who was married to Logan, who was a Marsha of sorts back in the day. And I think that she has, pound for pound, I think, the most accurate quote about Logan in the show, where she says he never saw anything he loved that he didn't want to kick just to see if it would still come back. Ugh. Like, it is so brutally true about Logan Roy. He does this all the time. He kicks his kids and then he pulls them back in, and then he kicks them again and then he pulls them back in. It's terrible, but it's so true. This episode, I said it before, I'll say it again. Succession doesn't know how to do a bad ending of a season. Like, penultimate episode and finale episodes are always so good. They're always events. And this is no exception.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to the terms of, we talked about last season, that the last season finale is one of, is I think, the most acclaimed episode of TV. I think this one would be close if it weren't for the next episode. Like, it's just like, it's just that the finale is like, you know, the second part to this. But this episode is so good. It's so good.
So look, my thing is, I want out. I think I thought I was a knight on horseback, but yeah, that isn't.
Life's not knights on horseback. It's a number on a piece of paper. It's a fight for a knife in the mud.
Let's do this character by character. I feel like we should stick with Logan and Kendall at the dinner table and talk through the characters there, and of course, everybody else. And of course, we want all of you to be participating in this. PostShowRecaps.com/RateRoy is the way to score all the characters, score all the episodes, score all the everything. We are still tracking this as we are getting closer and closer to the final season. All things stem from Logan Roy, Grace. Well, he's the one at the dinner table with Kendall, you know, going for the proverbial knife in the mud, which, by the way, one of my favorite lines of Logan Roy's across the entire show.
I know. The writing on this episode is so good. He's like, you don't know what real life is like. You know, it's a fight for the knife in the mud. It's so good. I don't know how to rate Logan this episode because he's, you know, so this conversation with Kendall is because Kendall wants out, and suddenly Logan decides you're not allowed to be out. He's trapping his son in a cage. And so on one hand, I can be like, okay, well, Logan just kind of saved himself $2 billion, maybe, and the podcast department. but on the other hand, I don't know. This feels like not great to keep Kendall in, but is that just morality for me speaking? Like, we always say, like, the thing I kind of love, we always talk about the best thing a Roy could do is to get out.
Get out. Kendall's trying.
Kind of.
To some degree, yeah.
Like, also, I'll take $2 billion, which is, like, fair. Like, whatever. In this world.
He also wants a chunky asset.
Damages. And he wants a chunky asset. Yeah, that's the other piece.
Maybe outdoor advertising and podcasts, though, too.
That's right. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, you're out, but, like, I feel like if you just take the $2 billion, maybe Logan is, like...
He wants his pound
like,
of flesh while he
I know. Yeah. I know. But we're talking about Logan. And then the other piece is this Madsen deal, which is, like, not happening. Or is not an acquisition, is now turning into a merger, but also it's something that Logan's potentially interested in. This is the future in a way that it's very interesting when you look back at Walter watching these in quick succession is like a thing he's not interested in. Now that it's sort of like wrapped up in the streaming package, he's like, okay, maybe a merger makes sense. But the deal has not gone through and he kind of gets played by Madsen a little bit. So I think I'm going to give Logan a 2. I feel like I could bump that up to a 3 though, just because he's such a strong, he's like a personality. Like, I know he's awful, but like, yeah, his. Like,
but he's making Iverson. No, he's not. Disavow. Yeah.
Making Iverson eat the mozzarella. Like, again, I know like this is the second time this season where they're all worried that somebody is poisoning each other. But then making his grandson eat it, if he actually thinks he was poisoned, is wild. And part of me thinks like there's no way he would make his grandson eat something that he thinks is poisoned. And then I'm like,
I don't know that there's
what
any
power move. I don't know.
I don't know that there's any part of me that doesn't think that he would make his grandson eat poison.
All right, I'm gonna leave. That sounds terrible, but I'm actually gonna bump him up for the Iverson Boundary.
That's really funny. Kendall's reaction to that is so heartbreaking. Do you think I want you dead? I'll be heartbroken when you die. Yeah. And Logan's response to that is just, how's the boy? Is he getting any better? Just like fundamental
also,
misunderstandings of the situation.
Yes,
and it's just so awful. So awful, Jess.
Yeah. I'm going to warn the listeners. I'm going into these last two episodes very much heart first, over everything else. It is like how I feel about these characters. I don't know that I can pull my heart apart from my brain of like, logically, is this the great business move, right? Like there are some things
your
that,
brain shouldn't be
that...
touching your heart. You gotta get that checked out.
I need to see a doctor.
Who should not be touching?
Logan is awful this episode. Like, I would have given him, I was going to give him some points up until the dinner with Kendall. I find what he does just like so supremely deplorable. He is making solid points about like, I've been cleaning up after you forever. However, you are also the one who like made your kids this way and then also cleaned up their messes when you either made them accountable. You clean them up as blackmail, as leverage. And like, it's so what he does, he's taunting Kendall, right? He is potentially going to feed his grandson poisonous food. He taunts Kendall. It's all just so, so hard to watch. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Jeremy Strong's performance, how he can make me go from hating him to feeling so supremely bad for him in a matter of moments is so, it's wild. He's so talented. But I side with Kendall here, and Logan is like such an awful human being. I gave him a 0 because I was so, so disgusted by him this episode, by everything he says to Kendall. Logan created this mess. He had these kids and he didn't parent them properly. And now this is the mess he's forced to clean up as a result. And I gave him a 0 because I couldn't give him anything else.
Yeah. I think I'm also going to give him a 0. I'm going to give him a 0 because I really feel Kendall's energy in that scene. I feel like I've been here with, I have some things that I need to tell you, and like, it's finally time for you to hear them, and it doesn't go so great, and it feels horrific, and it makes you feel like, well, then should I have never stood up for myself at all? Should I have never said anything at all? Which is not necessarily the case, and you shouldn't feel like such trash the way that the ghoul is trying to make you feel. And so I do think that Logan is rather effective in this episode. Is there, you know, can we laud him for going to the dinner at all? It's such a graded scale. If so, the way that he is ultimately going to treat Roman in this episode, he has great dialogue is maybe the only thing that would give him a point for me. And yeah, well, he will get a point because the dialogue is extraordinary for Brian Cox in this episode, whether it's the knife fight in the mud or when it's just like Zinger's like, she's a million years old.
I was thinking this. I knew you were going to say she's a million years old. It's so funny because he's old and he's sleeping with such a young, and it's like, she's a million years old. It's so awful. So it's like, it's funny and it's also terrible at the same time, which is like, some kind of sicko kid.
Yeah. So I can't go higher than that, but I can go that high.
I think you can also, Josh, you can, with your 1 point, that also encompasses Lord effing seat sniffer pantyhose.
Yeah.
Which he calls Peter Bunyan.
Yeah. There's just a lot. Even as simple as Iverson. You like mozzarella? It's just so good. It's so good.
The fact that he convinces his ex-wife, who does seem to hate him, to allow their eldest child, to be removed from wedding activities is wild. It's like, that's Logan Roy's
influence.
Well,
it's all because of Peter Munyon. That's because of Peter Munyon.
Second eldest. Still. To be clear.
No,
I mean,
but
Carol. That's fair. Well, let's go to the second eldest. Let's go to Caroline's eldest. Let's go to Kendall Roy, who I'll start us off with a 3 is where I landed with Kendall in this episode for the bravery that he exhibits in having that conversation. I feel for the guy in a very big way in this episode. He is having a really hard time. I take the point away for A. He, you know, I think Gracie, you're on to something. Like, maybe, like, you don't need the chunky asset. Take the money and go. Take the money and go, and then do your own thing. You don't need to be connected to this anymore. But I think that there is a, you know, there's a huge PTSD component to that, for sure. And I think that there is also, you know, the way that he leans into the "I'm better than you. You're a bad." I hate to say it because I love you, but you're kind of evil. You know, these are not the things to say in the moment if it's a mission oriented thing. But I'm not so sure that it is for Kendall anymore. I think Kendall remains on that quest to feel something. He hasn't felt anything since the boy died. Which he's reminded of in this episode. I think that he has been on this quest to be alive again, and it still hasn't exactly happened, though maybe he is finally feeling something, and unfortunately what he's feeling is just this bottomless well of sadness. I really feel for Kendall Roy in this episode. Jeremy Strong and his process getting under such scrutiny around this episode's release, I think only heightens my my reverence for the man and his performance in this week's episode. Kendall Roy, I will give 3. Grace, do you want to knock him down, or should Jess set him up? How do you want to do it?
If I gave Logan a high score, I feel like I gotta give Kendall a low score. I gave him 1 point. Basically give him a sympathy point because I feel bad for him. But again, yeah, like coming into, I mean, yeah, I certainly admire that, like, he comes in and is like, okay, I'm ready to leave, to get out, you know, and giving a moral stance to his father. But it's also like, again, like, that's like not going to work on Logan Roy to basically be like, you're evil, because Logan's just going to come back with like, yeah, but you don't understand how the world works. Like, sometimes you have to do these things. You got to be a killer. I also just got to say, I can't believe how impressive it is to make me hate Colin for a man who basically says nothing over the run of the show. But I hate Colin so much. Yeah. I hate him. I hate him looming in the background, just following Logan around. I hate him. I hate Colin. But I mean, it's a phenomenal episode. But I think, like, Kendall, ends the episode, he's drowning in a pool. I mean, it's he has a bad episode.
It certainly looks that way. Looks that way. Yeah. Jess, what did your heart tell you to do with Kendall Roy?
Yeah, my heart gave him a 3. The reason I gave him a 3, I knocked him down a point, similar to what you said in terms of not approaching Logan in the right way. The reason I took away a point was more of like, he's really being hypocritical in a way of like pretending he didn't know about all of the wrongdoings that happened behind the scenes, right? He says like, oh, you monetize the American resentments of class and race. Like, you've turned black bile into silver dollars. Like, and Kendall knew this.
Oh, and you're just figuring that out.
Yeah. Like, he knew. So I feel like him saying that is kind of a bit like, that's not right. That's not exactly what happened. I also docked him a little bit just because we don't know if he's alive or dead at the end of the episode. But overall, yeah, my heart is
Schrodinger's
with Kendall.
Yeah.
My heart is with Kendall. It's a really, really hard episode for him when we think about the fact that weddings are family affairs. Like, weddings are supposed to be a coming together of two people, a coming together of two families, right? And Kendall is getting shoved aside for his father, who is his mother's ex-husband, who she hates. And he is getting shafted to the side, and on top of that, when he even tries to have a one-on-one conversation with Logan, Roman steps in between them and is immediately like, nope, get out of here. It's a really, really hard episode to watch for Kendall. I also feel like part of me is like, sympathy point because he shaved his head, because we all know when we're going through something, we're gonna get a haircut as a result. and also the dead cater waiter, Andrew Dodds, gets brought up twice. Once from the whole podcast situation, and then also with Logan. And I think that's like poor Kendall is, he did wrongdoing. It's just really hard for him to like also be hearing about it constantly. Mm-hmm. So 3 points for Kendall. For
a little
Stop
while
bringing
ago,
up the kid that I was involved in killing.
Yeah,
come
it's,
on.
I know Josh, how I sound.
A little while ago, I was listening to your Ted Lasso preview with Antonio, and you were talking about all these fun casting play, like people could best. And I do have to say, they do name drop that Connor's mom is also being targeted for the interview. I feel like that's prime cat. I would love desperately for Connor's mom to show up in season 4. Just saying.
Would be great. Yeah, I was going to say something about Connor's father, but of course that's Logan. But I was thinking about Ferris Bueller and all the ways in which he's still making up for ruining the car.
That's right.
Let's go over to we can quickly do Connor actually since we're just on the subject. Hey, he's maybe engaged.
I did want to, you know,
congratulations.
Sometimes we've done little impression challenges. I was wondering if we could do Willa's reaction to being proposed to, which is a little, she goes, whoa.
Yeah. Really good.
I love the conversation they have too about like, he's like, just act like you said yes.
Everybody is looking.
But I'm going to smile like you said yes. Mm-hmm. Will you make me the happiest / most bulletproof candidate?
It's so bad.
One point for Connor. He's two maybe
points.
Engaged.
Two points. 2 points. 2 points.
It's
for
very
Connor
funny.
Roy.
Very, very funny.
That Alan Ruck bump showing up.
Yeah. I gave him 1 point, although I will say the line of like, I met a Pope once. He was like a jolly fat Pope or something. Uh-huh. Just it did crack me up.
The character is like just such a cowardly sniveling worm, and yet I feel like Alan Ruck just brings so much
so
to
good.
Succession. And I think that my appreciation for Connor Roy's contributions to the texture of Succession have only appreciated on the rewatch in a major way, I will say.
I think you look at Succession and think that Tom and Greg are the comedic relief, which they are a lot of the time, but actually like they get pulled in some serious stuff, and then you just have Connor there who's completely comedic relief, and it's so funny.
Also, shout out to Maxim, who was the one who gave Connor the idea to propose
Marklin
to
Baker.
Willa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also another slot in the side of Willa does not love Connor, the fact that she does not like she doesn't respond here and she has to think about it.
Well,
yeah.
At first, yes, she's ready to just go back underground. And she's like,
yeah,
I'll
like,
go
that's
underground
okay.
again.
I can go live in New York and you can stay far, far away from
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'll become an underground person again. Mm-hmm. So that's not how it goes. Connor Roy, hilarious. To take it back to the center of Logan's gravity, let's go to Roman Roy, who has an interesting episode. Grace, if you'd like to kick us off.
Well, I think I'm gonna implement a new rule, I think. I think if
I hope you're writing these down.
I don't have them, but that's
some of these rules you just feel, you know.
Yeah, you just know, like when they happen again, I'll be like, oh yeah, that's a rule. Yeah. If you send your father a DP, yeah, I think you got to get 0 points.
I think you're probably correct.
And I think on top of that, to like be serious for a minute about what happened, is Jerry does ask him to stop sending.
Explicitly.
Yes. So explicitly. And then it's a big moment in the boardroom. And as a celebration, when she says, good work, Roman, he decides to send her back a DP. This is really bad. I hate, we'll get into like the Jerry and Shiv of it all, which sucks. I hate that whole conversation. But yeah, Jerry says, no, thank you. I'm good. Incredible line from Jerry to Roman. You sent it in the group chat, Josh, if you want to a request from Jerry to Roman.
Yeah, what is it? It's like, do not F
Lori. Said in a way with such actual like it's such an actual statement and not
your concern.
Like, here's one thing, I don't think we've talked about this, but there was a lot of stuff that people thought when we were getting into like Roman is having some issues in the bed, that maybe there was like Roman was going to be a queer character. And I don't think that's like really bore out at all, but it is very funny that do not F Lori, him like developing a relationship with Lori.
Do not F Lori.
Yeah, in the morning, he's like, Lori, put her there. He's like, doesn't say anything to Jerry. I don't know. I want to give him more points, but the rules are the rules. Because he does.
The rules I made up.
The rules are the rules. yeah. Where does this leave Jerry for you to take her into the conversation?
I think pretty high because I would rate her very high. I think probably a 4 in this episode. She is working with like sort of like trying to get this like thing done on the deal. And it does look like the deal, while it's not exactly what they want, Logan seems totally content with this to be a merger. And Roman has some good insight into Mattson, that like Mattson cares more about potentially the optics and just making money than actually about controlling anything like in actuality. So he talks about, like, you'll probably get to keep the board in Waystar's control, right? Like, the mechanics of the deal will be actually great for Waystar. And he kind of, like, gets it done. It's just that he then sends a DP to his father, and his father's very upset. By the end of the episode, it does look like a merger is on the table. So this is great news, I think, for Jerry. It is bad news for Rome. I want to give him some points for that, but I can't.
Yeah. Jess, take down Roman and Jerry at once. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I follow along Grace's rules. If you send some, if you sexually harass someone with a photo of your D, you're getting a zero from me. That's a nice little ride.
Nice. I don't know.
That'll come in handy for some.
Hopefully
so many
never.
Times.
A rhyme. Absolutely.
Hopefully never. Yeah. But I will say, like, to talk about some of the other stuff Roman does this episode, he does, like, he's very concerned about his mom marrying Peter Munyon to the point where he's the one saying to Shiv, should we talk to mom? He brings it up with his mother, asking about, like, the prenup, you know, and mostly it's probably selfish, right? Like, he's involved in all of that. But part of it, I think, is a little bit of worry for his mom. Yeah, the stuff with threatening to F Lori did actually make me laugh a lot. He also seems very jealous of Jerry and Lori a lot this episode. You see him just kind of watching them a lot. He interrupts them, like, he knocks on her room to talk to her. And it does seem like he really just wants to get her away from him. I will also say, when I watched this the first time when it was airing, I felt like, and I don't know, I want to say people did agree with this, it felt like there was, like, sexual tension between him and Mattson. I know that was, like, a big conversation that
between
was
him
had.
And Mattson, between him and Mencken as well.
Exactly. Yep. There's something there. And I will say, to give Roman credit, even though I'm definitely giving him a zero, he's able to read Mattson, right? He's able to ask him, like, hey, were you, like, trying to do something with that tweet, or were you just being you? And I think he's very nervous about pitching this merger of equals to Logan. It does go well up until the DP, right? Like, his father is happy with him up until that moment.
I need five.
But I think, but I do think, like, even beyond the DP of it all and me giving him a zero, Logan immediately is just like, nope, done. Like, you are no longer going to be my favorite. You are no longer the pick. He's like, you're just screwing around. She's a million years old. It's effing disgusting. And then Logan, to move to Jerry, is going to fire Jerry for receiving photos of a DP, which also, now I'm even happier I gave Logan a zero.
I'm not a radical feminist, but.
Very funny.
Yeah. I gave Jerry a four. If you receive a picture of a DP that is not something you, if you directly said, I don't want the DP, and then you get the DP, you get a four. She has a pretty good episode in terms of, it seems like, at least for now, she has a little bit of armor in terms of, you can't fire me when I was just sexually harassed. I mean, we can kind of pivot from here, Josh, if you want to give your Jerry and Roman scores, because I do want to talk about the Jerry and Shiv conversation
as
well.
Of course. And I think we can get that into that when we get to Shiv. But as far as Jerry, a four for all of the reasons, and especially do not F Lori is one of my favorite lines of the season. Roman, I think the Grace rules reign supreme here as well. I'm tempted to give him a single point because of the way that he is handled by Logan in that conversation. Grace, this is another one of those moments where it's like, these kids never had a chance. Never had a chance.
Not at all. Even the, you know, if I was to knock down Jerry, like, you know, I'm not going to, but it's like, she's not in a great spot by the end of the episode, right? Like, I know that she's not going to get fired. I think Roman, like, puts this, like, we should not be firing Jerry. I think it's fair. But I also do think, in a weird way, it's like, this is not probably good for Jerry in terms of how Logan views Jerry as well. And he's the most powerful man.
One more thing before we move on from Roman. I hadn't noticed at the time when we were watching, but, like, and they bring it up in this episode of, where the heck is Tabitha? Like, Tabitha has completely fallen off of the board. I don't think we've seen her since L to the OG. Like, that's the last time I remember seeing her. Definitely not in season 3 at all. And Logan brings her up to Roman, like, where is she? He's like, we've been having issues. So I found that fascinating, that I hadn't noticed Tabitha's absence, but she certainly has been absent.
Yeah, I would say that the mention of her, like, yeah, we've been having some issues, was really interesting, but we have not checked in with her in a while. I wonder how much of that is because she was busy filming Station 11.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'll take that trade. Go check out the Station 11 podcast that LaTanya Starks and I did before we embark on Succession versus Yellow Jackets. And check out that Succession versus Yellow Jackets preview podcast. podcast we did. We had a really fun time. Puerto Rico's Versus. Go look that up. That's good stuff. Just to speak a little bit more about Roman before we move on from Roman, he's the one who wants to come here and like check in on mom. Like, mom, are you going to do something? You're going to do something that you're going to regret. He has, in between all of the raindrops, the like acid raindrops, he does walk between them with some decency in some of these moments. And I think that there's a line, I think, is it on the plane over when Roman's talking to Shiv or somewhere in the episode, where he's like, you know, we don't want like her to suddenly get, you know, married to this guy who there's no prenup and he's just going to wipe her out and then going to take our firm down with it. And so there are business concerns where it pertains Grace to Caroline with their own mother, that he's like, there's risk here that if our mother gets taken advantage of because of her stake, because of her ownership stake in the company, we could be in some trouble. So it's not like totally, you know, altruistic. I love my mom. I think that there is some business underlying the outreach as well.
I think it's always there. Like, even if, you know, this is not like, it doesn't have to be one or the other ever with these kids. Like, there's moments like when, whenever they're concerned about, like, legitimately concerned about, like, the prince, like when Kendall's saying, like, I would be devastated if you died. I think that is true, for sure. And in here, I do think that, like, you know, the pie is sort of made up of like some part actually caring about his mom, some part not wanting to get effed over in terms of what his inheritance would be when she dies, and some part like maybe Peter Munyon could eff the business over before any of that happens, right?
Congratulations, Greg.
Yeah, punching above your weight.
Oh, Comfrey?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like her. I do wonder, is there depth there? Sure. Like, is there substance?
Depth? Oh my God. The man dying of thirst is suddenly a mineral water critic? Does Comfrey not sate your lust for wisdom, Greg? It's such a shame Sontag's not still alive. You can take her to the drive-thru.
Maybe I wonder, when she gets to know the quote-unquote real me, will she stick around?
Well, I guess either way, if it doesn't work out, she's a great date ladder.
Excuse me? As in?
Well, you know, people will see her with you, and no offense, but they'll say, what the fuck's going on there?
Great. So we've got Shiv, Tom, and Greg here. Let's talk Shiv first and continue this conversation about Shiv. I almost included a sound drop from her conversation with her mother, but Jess, I couldn't relive it because this is one of the most upsetting conversations in all of Succession for me.
It is. And I think we're so distracted by how terrible Logan is all the time that sometimes Caroline, it goes underreported how awful of a parent Caroline is. She basically is like, you were a terrible daughter. You left me. And she tries to be holier than
you
thou.
You were
13
and,
like,
and you knew what you were doing then. Yeah, and you know what you're doing now.
Shiv's like, I was 10. And she's like, no, you weren't. You were 13. As if that's like way better.
A child. Yeah. And the thing is, it's like,
she's an adult in my faith, but I don't think that applies.
Yeah. Caroline tries to say that I let Logan have custody so that you could keep your shares of the company. Maybe that's true. It doesn't feel, it always feels there's something more there that she's not saying. If you really wanted your kids, you would have fought for custody. And it's just one of those things where she's twisting the knife, right? They have the, you are my onion. Well, you're my onion. And I really hate, it's awful to me, right? Like, Shiv and Tom, first of all, never ever ask someone, when are you going to have kids? You don't know. You don't know if they're trying. It's just not something you should ever ask someone. And it especially don't say, oh, it was a good decision of you not to. Some people just aren't made to be mothers. I shouldn't have been a mother. I should have just had dogs. Like, it's heartbreaking. And you can understand where Shiv is coming from, where immediately she's like, oh my God, I'm my mom. Oh, I don't want to be my mom. I'm going to go have a baby with Tom. And then, so right, I'm in the sympathy boat, right, Josh? I'm sitting there. I'm chugging along in my sympathy boat. Mm-hmm. And then she says,
it's your sympathy lifeboat that goes straight to the iceberg.
Yeah, that's right.
Right into an iceberg where, like, this is Shiv's sexy talk. This is her dirty talk of, you're not good enough for me. I'm way out of your effing league. That's why you want me. That's why you love me, even though I don't love you, but you want me anyway. It is heartbreaking. It is terrible. And then she has the conversation with Jerry, where she basically is like, oh, I could take Jerry down with this. Jerry, did you ever report this? Jerry, were these wanted? Were these unwanted? You're going to look really bad if you don't report this.
And why is she doing? I mean, I know that Jerry and Roman have really cozied up, but I think one of the things we observed on the rewatch is that Jerry and Shiv have had a decent partnership across the way. So I don't even know. It's just like there's a lot of lashing out that's happening.
It's getting
right
her
now
out of the way, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, you were involved with something with Roman. Okay, let me just bloop, get you out of my way.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Like, it's a... So where I ended up, I guess, to summarize all of my thoughts and feelings on this, I ended up at a 2 because I wanted to give her a 4 for how terribly her mom treats her. But then she treats Tom so terribly that I had to find a middle ground for it, which ended up being a 2. And I don't know that I'm particularly pleased with myself, but here we are.
Yeah, I ended up giving Shiv a single point. I gave Shiv a single point. That single point is the sympathy that I have from her mom, from the conversation with her mom, which I think really, really, you know, there's a lot of trauma here from generation to generation here in the Roy family. And it is clearly leaking out in this horribly global, toxic way. So my sympathy for them is limited. But I do see like the path that it took to turn these people into monsters, into like adult babies. And Shiv is no exception. I think the way that she's treated by her mom specifically in this backstory that we get, that's horrible. That's so much to put on her. Then like even when Tom is trying to have the conversation with her the next day, Grace, and she's like, he's like clearly hurt about it. Like he's feeling like a little bit of the afterburn of the sexy talk. And she even tries to wrap that conversation with, I don't love you, but I love you. You know, he's like, yeah, I know. That's not great. Ugh,
it's brutal. I keep writing 1 and then like replacing it with a 0 and then replacing it with a 1. Like, I think I'll go with a 1 because I just think, yeah, that conversation with her mother is so sad from Shiv's point of view. Just the way, like, you know, even if you have a difficult child, I think it's so on you to like talk about it in therapy and not directly to your child to be like, you're my onion, is absolutely awful. But then, yeah, it's treating Tom so terribly. And I was going to raise that when they were talking about like, yeah, the dirty talk is like one thing that's really bad. And then like, completely soberly the next day to be like, you know, I don't love you, but like, I love you. You're like, yeah. Oh, that sucks. And she's like being like, you're throwing it back in my face. But like, you know, she was speaking so much truth the night before. It's really brutal. I can't go more than a 1. And I keep wavering. I'll give her 1 point. It's really bad. It's not a good look for Shiv.
Where are you with Tom, Grace? Where do you land with Tom ultimately?
I don't know. Tom also, I think, has not a super. He's very, not a super great episode. He's very funny, and I feel bad for him. But also, his wife is so mean to him, and I know I should like rate him higher because of that. But I'm like, who's he got? Who's he got? He's got nobody here. He's just a sort of floating out in the ether. I don't know. I guess I'll give him 2 points, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, 2 points. Yeah, I think that I ultimately gave him, I think I'm around 2 as well. I do think ultimately I'll go the same route. I think Matthew McFadyen is once again both so funny but also very heartbreaking in this episode. And it kind of feels like he just got basically all the information he ever needs.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't...
It's bad news.
If it wasn't clear before, this was all very, very bad news as far as what his wants and his needs are and what he thought that he was getting out of this marriage with Shiv. And it was, you know, just 2 episodes ago that he's talking about what happened is I fell in love with your sister. That's what happened when he's talking to Ken. It's not like he was trying to play the dating ladder, right? He was trying to, you know, he was falling in love and then all of this opens up. At least that's how he sees it. That's how he talks about it. For it to then be responded to in the way that it's been responded to has been really, really hard. And this is probably the worst it's been. And he has expressed himself about all of this rather clearly along the way. I'm going to bump him up to three. I just feel for Tom in this episode, Jess.
Yeah, I gave him 3 points as well. Mostly because of just sympathy. I feel so bad for him. He really is putting himself out there when he tries to explain his feelings to Shiv. And she laughs at him. She blames him. She says, listen, what happens in Sex Vegas stays in Sex Vegas. You can't come at me the next day and say you're unhappy with something.
I've looked at an atlas and that's not a real place. I was going to go on vacation.
It's, it's just, it's really sad. Especially because of the scene where it's, where he says, like, I would want you to have my babies if I died. And she doesn't reciprocate that. I think this is a moment where we kind of see, like, I think this happens with some couples where it's like, oh, a baby will fix things. Like, a baby will bring us back together to the way we were. Definitely not true. I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine that is so, so deeply untrue. And I just feel very, very bad for Tom. So I gave him 3 points.
Yeah. Let's close it out with Greg. Cousin Greg, playing the Dayton ladder. I feel like Cousin Greg has a very solid episode. I think I have to give Greg a 3 here, at least. I guess, like, you know, maybe the way in which he is considering Comfrey is not so fantastic, but, I mean, look at his watch.
Yeah, look at the time. Look at the time.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe it.
It's like first thing in the morning. So
look at the time. I can't believe it.
I mean, the only thing is that Roman seems to be courting the Contessa and does tell Greg to keep his hands off. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I love it's a gut cleansing treat about yogurt.
A gut cleansing treat.
It's just a ridiculous, like, the way Greg speaks.
Cousin Greg has the swagger to go up to the Duchess.
That's true.
He's learned about dating ladders now.
He's learned a lot.
Yeah, I gave him a 3 because he does have a good episode, but I was also kind of disgusted with how he handled the Comfrey thing, so I was not going to give him a 4.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's been clarified. I got to give Greg extra points this time because I wasn't here last time. I was actually in the compliments tunnel, and Greg was
That's
nice. Tom was outraged when I told him he was full of grace, which Greg was great.
All right, so those are the characters. Let's track everything else. How many F-offs did we get in this episode? What did we count? I know my F-off, I think I had it at 4.
I had 5.
Okay, 5. Oh. We always go up. If someone counted more, we're assuming that's correct. So Jess has 5 F-offs. I know I'm low on Ken dads. I only tracked 2, and then I think I got distracted by all the sadness that was happening.
Oh, I did notice there's a Ken mom, because he says mom, and there's an Ivor dad.
Ivor dad. Wow.
Which is at the end of the episode. Yeah. Ivor says, Dad, I'm going to go inside. Thing. And he says, okay, son. Yeah. So an Ivor dad. Yes. I only got 3. So I think I'm way off on my Ken dads, though.
I also got 3.
All right. Let's call it 3. I think 3 sounds right to me. As far as Blank's dad, can we put Kendall with a question mark?
Yeah.
Kendall?
Yeah. Kendall with a question mark.
Kendall?
Lovely.
Daddy's favorite. Well, huh. Hard to say in this episode. It was Roman until the final couple of minutes. It's
have we given one to I mean, just I'll talk about Carolina.
Could be Carrie, you mean?
Carrie.
We haven't. I do think right now by default Carrie is his favorite.
I remember being incredibly worried about there's a joke in this episode about having a baby. I was very worried at the time about a little Carrie Logan baby. Very worried about it and how much it would affect the succession crisis. An infant. Yeah.
I prefer to have Tom's line of thinking when Marcia and Carrie both walk in with Logan. He's like, maybe they just share a big bed together and watch Friends reunions or Friends episodes and drink milkshakes. I like to think about it.
All right, well, let's call it Carrie. I think Greg wins against Tom would be my vote here, which gets us into a bit of a nail biter for episode 9, 4 Gregs versus 4 Toms.
And I will say overall, because I've been keeping track of like the overall standings, it is an even 13-13 Greg Tom.
Oh my gosh.
So really a nail biter.
A real nail biter here. I think 4s across the board for the episode from the 3 of us. I think it is, you know, oftentimes I think a penultimate episode just has a lot of setup work to do, but this is one that has such biting, caustic dialogue, and I think some of the characters have reached boiling points that we've been slowly simmering for a while, and I think in regards to some of these characters, not to say who, we'll see what it looks like when it bubbles over in the next episode, so get excited about that. Any further thoughts about your 4s, folks, or you feel pretty good about them?
I know in season 1, a lot of us, I think we all did, we like rated the penultimate episode a little bit lower, knowing that like there was this like two-partness to it, I believe, and also the wedding finale, a two-parter, And yeah. I don't feel like that at all with this. I feel like this episode is perfect. Just knowing that there's like, you know, another episode to come is like super, super exciting. It's so well written. Like it actually, you know, I think the next episode does get nominated for writing, but I think there's like an argument that they also could have nominated this one and it like also would have got nominated or something. I don't think they can do that, but it's so good.
It's very, very good. That's the episode. We have one more episode of season three to go, and then we're all in the same lifeboat together heading towards the iceberg of the final season, Parts Unknown. So tomorrow, the next episode of this podcast, the final episode recap of the Daily Succession podcast, is going to be getting into what is it? All the Bells Say, I believe is the name of the season three finale. A really exciting episode coming up to talk about next on the podcast. Make sure you are subscribed at postshowrecaps.com/succession. That is our RSS link. If you want to search by URL or just search Post Show Recap Succession wherever you get your podcasts, you can get them on Patreon if you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps, and they will be commercial free for you at every single level that you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Recaps. Get all your ratings in if you have not done so already, though we're keeping this line open. postshowrecaps.com/rateroy is the way. That's postshowrecaps.com/rateroy. I'm at Round Howard, wherever you can find me. Grace, where are you?
I'm at High From Grace.
And Jess?
At the Jess Sterling.
All right, folks, coming up next, the season three finale. Until then, F off!
P to the OD. Cast on the daily about success. Session.